Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91, beginning at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for the ways your word guides us, strengthens us, empowers us, and thank you for the ways in which your word is a weapon for us as well. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of how to use your word as the weapon, the mighty weapon that it is. And thank you in particular for the unique weapon that we find in the Psalm, Psalm 91. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noise and pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, it's a privilege to have you listening. And of course, we started out by sharing, from Psalm 91, both read it, and then I took time to pray Psalm 91 as well. And we're blessed to have a recording of a very special guest that we've had on the broadcast before, Miss Peggy Joyce Ruth. She's a dynamic servant of the Lord who a big part of her ministry is teaching people about the wonderful weapon and power found in Psalm 91. She's authored several books about on the topic of Psalm 91. And, you know, this is such a critical time for us to be understanding why spiritual warfare and learning to use God's word as the weapon that it is so important. So many things going on in our culture. We think of the many tragic shootings that have happened in workplaces, in schools, in movie theaters, in churches, and other places. Well, again, who can protect us? The reality is no one can protect us like God can. We think of disease and pestilence that's going on in our culture, the coronavirus and other things going on as well. But again, no one can protect us like God can. And so today we're privileged to have Peggy Joyce Ruth on a CD as she's sharing a message about the powerful weapon of Psalm 91. And so as you listen to her share, I want to encourage you to really listen closely. And my challenge to you, to every single listener, is that you will make it your goal to begin to pray Psalm 91 every single day over yourself and over your family, because as we said, no one can protect us like God can. So let's listen now to a CD, a recording of Peggy Joyce Ruth doing a wonderful and a powerful job of teaching about the powerful truths found in Psalm 91.
Do the latest statistics on cancer and heart disease and other dread diseases, do they kind of send a chill of fear down your spine at times? Do you think of the possible terrorist attacks and all the talk about chemical warfare and kind of feel like sometimes your heart just kind of skips a beat when you hear all that? I don't know how many of you have boarded a plane lately, but when you board a plane, do you feel just a little bit nervous when you start getting on a plane? What about all the natural disasters that are happening, all these unusual places? You know, we used to hear about horrible natural disasters where hundreds and thousands of people would be killed, but it was always happening someplace else. It was always happening on the other side of the world. But have you noticed that these things are happening in our back door now? Have you noticed that? Do you sometimes wonder if there's any place in the world that's safe to be able to hide? Back in the 1950s, things were so predictable. I've noticed that the word predictable is becoming very obsolete. You know, every decade it becomes more and more obsolete because fear is just running rampant because of the uncertainty of the times. Constant changes are everywhere. Everywhere you look, you really can't depend on anything because the changes are coming all the time. And nothing seems to be stable. But I want to tell you this morning, did you know that there is an answer? This is what I'm wanting us to hear with all of my heart. And that answer is a message that absolutely is just burning in my heart. It's just been burning in my heart for, oh goodness, probably 2 years now. I actually lie awake sometime at night just trying to think how I can get this message out. Because this is a truth from God. This is a promise. This is a covenant that God has made. And just like Jack was saying earlier, I mean, it's something we can sink our teeth in because it's been reserved for these end days. You take a few decades ago, say 30 years ago, and no one really had even knew what Psalm 91 was. But have you noticed everybody's talking about Psalm 91? And I truly believe it's because God reserved it for these end days. In fact, just this past year, most of you know that God told me to write this book as another means of getting this message out. And I call the book Psalm 91, God's Umbrella of Protection. It's a divine umbrella of protection. It's actually a covenant that God's made for His children. Now, you may have heard this teaching several times, but that's okay. Every single time that you hear it, it's becoming more and more embedded in your spirit, man. The more often you hear it, the better it's going to be. Now, I think that this psalm is probably special to me because of the way in which God first gave it to me. Some 30 years ago, I was dealing with a lot of fears. You know, I was so afraid of disease. I was afraid something was going to happen to some member of my family. And I was just constantly fearful over something. If I'd get over one fear, another fear would take its place. And one Sunday afternoon, after getting some really distressing news, one of our deacons in the Baptist church where we were members had been diagnosed with leukemia. I remember praying that afternoon, Lord, is there any way to be able to escape all the evil that's coming on this earth? Is that even possible? Or do we just take our chances like everybody else? And I remember lying back across the bed and falling immediately to sleep. And I woke up just 5 minutes later. But in that 5 minutes, I had the most unusual dream. In the dream, I was out in this open field. I could look as far as I could see. There was just a big open field. And so I was asking the same question that I'd asked earlier. Is there any way to be protected from all the things that are coming on the earth? And in my dream, I heard these words. God said, in your day of trouble, call upon me and I will answer. Now, I had no idea that these words were straight out of the Bible. When I heard those words, this joy just absolutely flooded all over me. I got so excited. I was out in this field in my dream, and I was dancing and rejoicing and praising God. And suddenly, to my surprise, there were hundreds and hundreds of other people there in the field with me. And we were all rejoicing, and we were praising God because He had given us the answer. Now, when I woke up, I knew I had the answer. I mean, peace like warm oil had just flooded all over me. I wasn't quite sure what the answer was, but I knew God had given me the answer. And it wasn't until the next day when I heard the 91st Psalm just referred to on a tape, it was a Shirley Boone testimony tape, that suddenly I just knew in my heart that whatever was in that tape was going to be God's answer to the question that I had asked earlier. Now, I didn't know what that psalm was about, but I knew that if it told me to go stand in the corner on my head, I knew that it was going to work. I knew that. And so I nearly tore my Bible up, turning to Psalm 91 to see what it had to say. And I could hardly believe my eyes, because there in Psalm 91, verse 15, were the exact words that I had heard in my dream. In your day of trouble, call upon me and I will answer. And you should have seen me. When I saw that, I'm going to tell you what, I had a runaway. I was bouncing and jumping. And I mean, it was so supernatural that I knew that God had given me the answer that I had been looking for. Now, I began to study Psalm 91 as though my very life depended on it. What I didn't know at the time, my life did depend on it. I spent months and months just dissecting every word of it. Now, my prayer today is this psalm is going to become as dear and precious to you as it is to me, and I think to most of you it is. In fact, I believe that those of you that are listening and those of you that will get the message from reading the book, I truly believe that you're among the Christians now who were pictured with me in that open field, who will, through this message now, get your answer to that question, can a person be protected in these turbulent times? Now, this psalm is not just something to comfort. I've heard so many people say, well, I've read Psalm 91 and it's such a comfort. Listen, this is not a psalm to comfort you. This is a psalm that God has given to us that will literally save your life. That's what I'm wanting you to hear. It's literally there to save your life. Now, I hope you have your Bible, because we're going to go straight through the psalm. In verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, have you ever been in a house with a big fire going in the fireplace and you were watching this huge electrical storm that was going on outside, and you just felt so warm and cozy on the inside because you knew that even though there was a horrible storm going on outside, it couldn't touch you. You were safe, were protected. Okay, that's exactly what this psalm is all about. Did you know that there is a place in God, there's a secret place for His children who want to be protected? And it's an actual place where you can have physical safety and security. And God's telling us about it in this psalm. And this secret place is literal, but it's also conditional. So we see here in verse 1 that God lists our part of the condition before He even mentions the promises that He's going to make in His part. And that's because our part has to come first. Our part is what absolutely releases the power of God. Now, in order to abide in the shadow of the Almighty, we're going to have to choose to dwell there. Now, when you dwell someplace, that means you live there. That's where you stay. Now, the question is, how on earth do we dwell in the shelter of the Most High? Well, we dwell in His shelter, first of all, by believing that He is a literal place of protection. You know, we have to come to a place where we believe that, where we believe that when we dwell in Him, there's going to be that protection that He's promised, where we can physically be protected when we run to Him in faith. Now, you might call this place of refuge, you might call it a love walk, because that's exactly what it is. It's where you have developed a relationship with the Father, and you've cultivated and developed this intimate time with Him, because you've invested time and you've invested your love to Him.
You've been listening to a CD recording of Peggy Joyce Ruth as she's teaching on the powerful truths found in Psalm 91. And Peggy Joyce Ruth is also the author of several books about Psalm 91. We're encouraging our listeners to make it your goal to begin to pray Psalm 91 every single day over yourself and over your family. We'll pick up with the recording on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle.
Music of Michael W. Smith, the song simply entitled Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We have by way of recording Peggy Joyce Ruth. She's the author of several books based on the powerful tool of Psalm 91, and also she's teaching specifically on this recording that we're sharing today about Psalm 91. Our challenge to you is that if you're not already praying Psalm 91 every day over yourself and over your family, we would encourage you to start that today. Because again, remember, in this dangerous world, this perilous world full of dangers and all sorts of difficulties and storms, no one can protect you like God can. So that's our challenge to you. So at this point, we pick up with the CD where she's continuing to teach about insights and truths found in Psalm 91.
Now the question is, how on earth do we dwell in the shelter of the Most High? Well, we dwell in His shelter, first of all, by believing that He is a literal place of protection. You know, we have to come to a place where we believe that, where we believe that when we dwell in Him, there's going to be that protection that He's promised, where we can physically be protected when we run to Him in faith. Now, you might call this place of refuge, you might call it a love walk. Because that's exactly what it is. It's where you have developed a relationship with the Father. And you've cultivated and developed this intimate time with Him. Because you've invested time and you've invested your love to Him. Now we've got to choose to make Him our shelter. Not just once in a while. But we've got to choose to make Him our shelter continuously every day. Now I've said this before, but it's a saying that I use all the time. We have to put all of our eggs in one basket, and the basket is God. And that's what we have to make up our mind, that that's what we've decided to do. Lord, You're going to be my answer. And so in verse 2, it says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, I want you to notice that verse 2 says, I will say. Some of you already have it circled, but if you don't circle that word say, because the scripture says we have to say it. I don't know what it is, but there's something about saying it that releases the power of God in the spiritual realm. And I want you just to start noticing the next time you start saying this out loud. I want you to notice what happens on the inside when you start saying, Lord, You're my God, You're my source, You're my Lord. You're the one in whom I trust. You're my protection. I have put all my eggs in one basket, and Lord, you're the basket. The more you say that out loud, the more confident you're going to become in his protection. Now, so often we get in mental agreement, you know, and we'll say, oh yeah, I believe that. But it takes more than that. That's not good enough. By voicing now his lordship and his protection, we open the door to the secret place. That's actually the door to the secret place. God has to be our source. Now, a lot of times it seems like women are more apt to start confessing this and believing for it. But I'm going to tell you what, this is more for the men than it is for the women, because men, you're the heads of your households. As you say this out loud, you're literally putting a protection, you're putting a covenant protection over your wife, over your children. You cannot believe what it can start doing for your family. You know, have you ever tried to touch enough bases to protect yourself from all the bad things that could happen? You ever tried to do that? You know, it's like trying to keep the whole law, and God knew we couldn't do it. You know, we could go and get a checkup at the doctor once a month, and we could double check our car every day to see that the brakes are okay and to see that the tires are all right and to see that the motor's running right. We could try to fireproof our house, and we could store up food for times of need, and we still couldn't touch enough bases fast enough to be able to protect ourselves from all the potential dangers. It's impossible. You can't do it. Now, it's not that any one of these precautions is necessarily wrong. It's just none of these things in and of themselves has the power to protect. And we can't know what's happening. See, God's the only one that knows what's going to happen. And he's the one that we have to run to first. He's the only one that has an answer for whatever might come. Because you don't have any idea. You may be planning against one thing and something else hits on the other side. God's the only one that knows. And he's made provision for whatever might come. Now, when I think of how utterly impossible it is for us to be able to plan and protect ourselves against all the evils that's coming on the earth, I always think of a sheep. Because, see, a sheep has no real protection in and of itself. In fact, it's the only animal that I can think of that doesn't have any built-in protection. If you'll think about it, it doesn't have any sharp teeth. You know, it doesn't have this offensive odor that it can spray out to drive away its enemies, like the skunk, and doesn't have a loud bark, and it certainly can't run very fast. And I think that's probably why the Bible calls us sheep. That's why we're called God's sheep, because God is wanting us to see him as our protection. He wants us to see him as our shepherd. And that's all the protection that the sheep has, is just the shepherd. And so that's what God's wanting us to do. God may use doctors, and he may use storm cellars, and he may use bank accounts now to meet our needs from time to time. But we have to realize that our heart has to run to him first. He has to be the shepherd. And then he will choose the method that he desires to bring about the protection that we need. Now, I've had a lot of people say to me, well, I can't dwell in the shelter of the Most High because I mess up too often. And when I mess up, then I feel guilty and I feel unworthy. Well, God knows about our weaknesses. He knows that. That's exactly why he gave us his son. See, we can no more earn this protection or deserve it than we can earn or deserve our salvation. And he knew that. So don't point to what you've done, maybe all these bad things that you've done. Don't point to what you haven't done that you should have done. Point to what Jesus has done for you. Get into the Word and find out what Christ has done for you. We dwell in the shelter of the Most High by faith in God's grace, by faith in the blood of Jesus. We dwell in his shelter, not in our own righteousness, but we dwell in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a difference, however, between making an occasional mistake and staying in willful sin. See, any time we've got self-will and we're staying in self-will or rebellion or willful sin, we're going to find that that puts us out of the secret place of protection, because self-will is a wall that we build between God and us. Now, our part of the covenant is expressed in verses 1 and 2. As we read that and determine, okay, Lord, you're going to be my source, you're my shepherd, then what it does, it allows his power then to be released that brings about the promises in verses 3 through 16. Now, our part's small, but it's necessary to release his part of the covenant. Now, I want you to look at God's part. This is the good part. Okay, look at the first part of verse 3. It says, "For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper." Now, as hard as we may try, we're never going to be able to deliver ourselves from the snare of the trapper. The Bible says it is God who delivers us. The Bible tells us that deliverance by man is in vain. Okay, now, what does it mean when it says snare of the trapper? Because it uses a lot of descriptive phrases in this chapter. Well, the snare of the trapper is just a graphic way of explaining the adversary. You know, the enemy, Satan. Jesus called him the thief in John 10:10. Have you ever seen a movie where the fur trapper would go deep into the mountains up in the cold climate and he would bait these big steel traps and he would cover them over with leaves and then he would wait for some unsuspecting animal to step into those traps? Well, those traps are not there by happen chance. That trapper had taken very much care to put those traps in exactly the location, the strategic locations where they could best catch the animal. Well, that's exactly a picture of what the enemy does to us. And that's why he's called the trapper. Because those traps that he set for us, they're not there by happen chance. They're custom made. They're baited specifically for each one of us. Because, see, the enemy knows exactly what thought to put in your mind that will best lure you into his trap. He knows the fear to hit you with. What I might be afraid of might not even bother you and vice versa, but he knows the fear that's going to most likely suck you into that trap. He knows exactly which temptation is going to most likely hook us and draw us into the trap. And that's exactly why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 that we're not to be ignorant of the schemes of the enemy. Okay, I want you to look at the last part of verse 3. Not only does he deliver us from the snare of the trapper, but it says that he will deliver us from the deadly pestilence. Now, I've always thought that pestilence was something that attacked crops. Always thought it was something like bugs or, you know, locusts or grasshoppers or mildew or spider mite or, you know, root rot. But after I did a word study on this word pestilence, I found out to my surprise that pestilence has to do with people. It doesn't have to do with crops. And this word pestilence now means a fatal epidemic that hits the masses of people. See, a pestilence is a deadly disease that attaches itself to a person's body with the intent to destroy that body. Now, can you think of any deadly diseases today that attach themselves to a person's body to destroy it? Of course we can. You know, I mean, you can name on and on. Cancer and heart disease and diabetes and on you can name. But God says here, I will deliver you from the deadly disease that comes with the intent to destroy. Okay, do we as Christians even stop to consider what this is saying to us? Have you ever stopped just to meditate on that one thing where he says, I will deliver you from the deadly pestilence? Do we have the courage to trust God's word enough to believe that he means this literally? You know, he's not going to put this in here if he doesn't mean it literally. But he's wanting us to develop faith. And the more we hear it, faith comes by hearing. The more we hear it, the more we're going to believe it. And he put it here on purpose. Okay, let me ask you this. Is it possible for this covenant to be true and still for a Christian to miss out on it? Yes, it is. It's possible to miss out on it. This covenant is true. But it's just like Jesus was talking about in Luke 4, verse 27. He said, in the days of Elijah, there were many lepers in Israel. But he said, none of them was healed. But he said, Elijah went to a foreigner. Naaman the Syrian was able to get the healing because he obeyed in faith. Now, not everyone is going to receive the benefits of Psalm 91. It's only going to be the ones now who will take hold of these promises and hold fast to those promises. Those are the ones that are going to benefit. But nonetheless, it's there. And it is available. Okay, the first part of verse 4 says that he, talking about God, will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. Did you notice that it says under his wings you may seek refuge? It doesn't say you will. It says you may. Now again, it's up to us to make that decision. We can seek refuge under his wings if we choose to. Now I've used this illustration before, but God gave me such a vivid illustration of this that I'm going to share it again. Jack and I live out in the country, and one spring, our old mother hen had this brood of baby chickens. And one afternoon, the chickens were spread all over the yard, and they were just having the time of their life. They were scratching, and all of a sudden, we saw the shadow of a hawk overhead. And then I noticed something very unique that taught me a lesson that I don't think I will ever forget. That old mother hen did not run to all of those baby chickens and cover them with her wings. She didn't do that. Instead, she squatted down, she spread out her wings, and she began to cluck. And then all of those little chickens from every direction came running to her and got under those outstretched wings. And when they were all under there, she pulled those wings down tight over those baby chickens, and she tucked them safely under her. Now, to get to those baby chickens, the hawk would have had to have gone through the mother. Now, when I think of those baby chickens running to their mother, I realize that it's under his wings now that we may seek refuge. But we have to run to him. He's not going to run here, there, and yonder trying to gather us all up. He's made these promises available. And he says, you run to me. And when we do run to him in faith, then the enemy literally would have to go through God to get to us. When you think about that, you just think, oh, Lord, what a comforting thought. What a blessing. Okay, look at the last part of verse 4. It says, and his faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark.
You've been listening to a recording of Peggy Joyce Ruth, the author of Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection, as well as a very gifted teacher who teaches about truths about Psalm 91 as well. And she's sharing about how to put Psalm 91 to work for you in your life every single day. We're encouraging you to start praying that prayer every day over yourself and over your family. We'll pick up with a message on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Music of Dunson Oyekan. If all I say is Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. It's a privilege to have you listening each and every day. We're sharing a recorded message by Peggy Joyce Ruth, the author of Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection. She's authored several books about Psalm 91, and she's doing an excellent job of sharing about the truths found in Psalm 91 that can be taken and used, or helping us to learn how to use Psalm 91 as the weapon that it really, really is. So at this point, we pick up with a message on this side.
Okay, I love to realize that it's God's faithfulness to his promises that's going to be my shield. See, it's not just my faithfulness. My faithfulness gets weak a lot of times, but it's God's faithfulness to his promises. A few weeks ago, all the little boy cousins were chasing our little granddaughter, Merritt. She's 5. And suddenly, boy, she just came running to me, and she just ran into me headlong and full force. And she threw her little arms around me, and she was hollering, "Don't let them get me," you know. Well, that brought back memories, because I could remember so many times doing exactly the same thing when I was a child. And I would run to one of my parents, and they'd wrap their arms around me until I felt completely shielded from whoever was chasing me or whatever was happening. Okay, do you realize that that's exactly what God wants us to do? It's exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to run full force into his arms, because when we do, then he becomes a literal shield around us that protects us from the harm that's in the world. Then, when we've run to him and he's put his arms around us and we're shielded in him, then when the enemy comes and starts whispering all these little fearful thoughts in your mind and you all of a sudden have your emotions upset, all of a sudden all that's going to be able to calm down, because you're going to be able to ward off that attack by saying, my faith is strong because I know that my God is faithful. And it's his faithfulness that's my shield against the enemy. Now the next two verses, you really need to mark this, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6 contains an extraordinary promise, one of the most powerful promises in the Bible. These two verses cover every evil known to man. You need to write that out in the margin of your Bible, because every evil known to man is included in these two verses. Now, it's divided in four categories, and we're going to take these four categories and look at them one at a time. But in the first part of verse 5, he says, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. Okay, this first category, terror by night now, this includes all of the evils that come through man. Everything that you might be afraid of that man could do to you. That includes the kidnapping and the robbery and murder and rape and terrorism and wars. All of the evils that come through man. When you realize that God is saying you're not going to have to be afraid of anything, any of these things, because they're not going to approach you. Do you realize how many times Jesus told us not to be afraid? Why do you think that he continually told us not to be afraid? Because, see, it's through faith in his word that we're protected. And since fear and faith are opposites then, the Lord knows that fear is going to keep us from operating now in the faith that's necessary to receive the promise. Now, no wonder God does not want us to be afraid. No wonder he's telling us, don't be afraid of the terror by night, because he knows that fear is going to keep us out of faith. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have nearly as good a covenant as we have. And yet, when the Israelites put blood, the blood of animals, on their door facings, the enemy couldn't come through, couldn't pass through the bloodline. Okay, that's just a type and shadow of our covenant. Our covenant's so much better than that. And so when we confess now out loud that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and when we believe that, the devil literally can't come in. Now remember, verse 2 tells us, I will say the Lord is my refuge. I will say the Lord is my fortress. It's always going to be heart and mouth. You need to write heart and mouth out in the margin, because it's when we believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth. You know, when you have a physical weapon, the way you use and operate your physical weapons is with your hand. You don't operate a physical weapon with your foot or with your ear. You know, you operate it with your hand. The way you always operate your spiritual weapon is with your mouth. What we say it. The blood is applied by saying it in faith. Remember, it's always heart and mouth. Now, never before in our history has there been so much talk about terrorism and germ warfare. I mean, we're hearing it every time you turn on the TV. But do you realize that God is not shocked? And he's not caught off guard by all these things that are happening in the world. God is bigger than chemical warfare. And we need to stop and realize that. Long before man had even discovered biological weapons, God had made provision for the protection of his children if they would just believe his word. Now make a notation in the margin of Mark 16, 17, and 18. Because he said, if you drink any deadly poison, it's not going to hurt you. And that word drink is from the Greek, simply means to imbibe, and it means to drink, to absorb, to inhale. Well, chemical warfare, when it comes, you know, you inhale it, you absorb it. Okay, he said, you know, you don't have to be afraid of these, because if you drink any deadly poison, it's not going to hurt you. No evil has been conceived by man against which God has not provided a promise of protection. I mean, that should make us jump up and shout when we hear that. He has a protection for his children who will choose to believe it and to act on it. And I think, you know, how good God is. He is so good. He knew what we had need of, and he made provision for it before we ever even ask. Now, if we find ourselves being afraid of the terror by night, then that needs to just be a barometer that lets us know that we're not dwelling in the shelter of the Most High as closely as we need to. See, fear comes from two things here. Number one, it comes when we start confessing things that don't line up with what God said. Anytime you're confessing something other than this word, fear's going to come in. And number two, anytime we get our eyes off of God and get our eyes onto the circumstances, fear's going to come in. But let that fear just be a reminder to stop and repent and get back into that place of saying out loud in faith all these promises of God. Because you're going to find yourself over there in fear every once in a while, but pull yourself back. Let it be a reminder. Now, it's not that we deny the existence of the attack. I mean, these attacks are real. Not for one minute am I saying that we're denying these attacks from the enemy. They're very, very real. But God is just wanting our faith in His Word to become more of a reality than what we're seeing out there in the natural. You know, gravity's a fact. No one denies the existence of gravity. But just as the law of aerodynamics now can overcome or supersede the law of gravity, we need to realize that Satan's attacks can also be superseded by a higher law, the law of faith and obedience in God's Word. Okay, the last part of verse 5 says, you will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. So the second category of evil is the arrow. Now, an arrow is something that pierces or wounds physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. That arrow is sent to destroy you. When somebody shoots an arrow, they're shooting an arrow to try to destroy you. And these arrows are deliberately sent by the enemy, and they're aimed meticulously at the spot that will cause the most damage. And they're not shot off at random either. These arrows are targeted at the area in which you've not yet had your mind totally renewed to the Word of God. Now, that target could be circumstances aimed at an area where maybe we're still losing our temper, or maybe an area where we're still easily offended, or maybe it's an area where we're still in rebellion or we're in fear. Very seldom is the enemy going to attack you in an area where you're strong, where you've built yourself up in the faith. He's going to attack us where we're still struggling. And that's why we have to run to God. Okay, the first part of verse 6, you'll not be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in darkness. Now, the third category of evil that God names is pestilence. Okay, this is the only one that God names twice. Well, God knew the pestilence and the fear that was going to be running rampant in the end days. He knew that. And so He got our attention by repeating that promise. It's as though God were saying, well, I said it in verse 3, but just in case you didn't hear me, I'm going to repeat it again in verse 6. You do not have to be afraid of the deadly pestilence. He's wanting us to hear this. Now, this is so contrary to the world's thinking. We have to renew our mind. We have to renew our thinking to be able to comprehend this fact that we don't have to be afraid of the sicknesses and the diseases that are epidemic in our world today. I mean, they're constantly coming out with new sicknesses and new diseases. Now, our inheritance is not limited to what's been handed down to us genetically from our ancestors. That is not our inheritance. Our inheritance can be what Christ Jesus bought for us on the cross if we'll reach out and receive that, if we'll believe it. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 67, it tells us that every sickness and disease and even the ones not listed in the book are part of the curse. But praise God, we've got Galatians 3:13 that tells us Christ redeemed us from the curse. He's redeemed us from every pestilence if we'll just believe and start appropriating this promise. Now, Renee, she gave her testimony, and I get excited every time I hear that testimony because she was diagnosed right before Christmas several years ago with lupus. I've never seen anyone grab hold of Psalm 91, and I mean, you talk about sinking her teeth in it. She wasn't about to turn it loose, and she declared that lupus was absolutely not going to remain in her body, and her kidneys and her liver began to shut down, and for a while, she was just getting one bad report after another. Every time she called, I would brace myself because she'd gotten another bad report, and you know what? Most of us would have given in at that point. Most of us would have said, oh, well, I don't know why it didn't work. That's just the way it is, and too many times, we're ready to give in too fast. When they told her that she wouldn't live to see another Christmas, well, that's when she called me and she said, I will live to see another Christmas. And Psalm 91 is what I'm hanging on to. And gradually, things began to change. She's seen three Christmases since then. And her kidneys, as they started to function, the kidney specialist called it a miracle. And the blood specialist, I think it was three different times, said, this is miraculous. And then the third doctor, after studying the test results, she came in and said, I see no lupus working in your body. That is the power of Psalm 91. But we've got to realize there's a point between point A and point B where it's very easy to give up and give in to the world. And when it's the hardest to stand is when we have to determine in our heart, Lord, I am not turning this loose. This is a promise that you've made to me. And Psalm 91 is truth, and I'm going to walk in it. And that's what she did, and she saw the results of it. Okay, the last part of verse 6 says, you'll not be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noon. This is the fourth category of evil. It's destruction. Now, destruction takes in all of the evil over which man has no control. The things that the world ignorantly call acts of God, the tornadoes and the floods and the fire and car wrecks and this type thing. Now, these things are not coming from God. We do not have to fear them. We are protected from them when we stay in the shelter of the Most High. Now, some people say, well, how do you know God doesn't send these natural disasters? Well, in Mark 4, verse 39, Jesus rebuked the storm, and it became perfectly calm. He was demonstrating right there that God is not the author of such things. Otherwise, Jesus would never have contradicted something that his Father had sent. So we don't have to be afraid of the destruction. Now, did you know that every extreme evil known to man is going to fall under one of these four categories? All the things that can take our life, it falls in one of these four categories. The terror by night, things that come through man, the arrows, the assignments of the enemy, the pestilence, the sicknesses and diseases, and the destruction, the things over which man has no control. Every extreme evil is going to fall in one of those four categories. And the amazing thing is that God has offered us deliverance from them all.
You've been listening to a recorded message by gifted Bible teacher Peggy Joyce Ruth. She's the author of Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection, and several other books about Psalm 91 as well. And as I mentioned, she's sharing truths about using Psalm 91 in your life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We shared part one. We're planning to share part two on tomorrow. Hope you'll be able to join us then as well as we continue to hear Peggy Joyce Ruth sharing about truths about Psalm 91, the weapon of Psalm 91. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.